Q.
8:16 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour here on KPCW. Joining me now in the studio with an update on tomorrow's Summit County Council meeting. They'll be meeting at the Summit County Courthouse starting at 4:30 in a work session is County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Leslie.
So first, did you go on the site visit to the big berm there at the Canyons Hole 11?
I did. It was a little bit wet and cold and snowy yesterday, but yes, we were there for approximately about an hour to an hour and a half.
To what? Just look for yourself?
It was basically just to get the lay of the land, understand get the council to see it and probably understand what it looks like from both the appellant's point of view and from the from TCFC's point of view, who are building the golf course.
Yeah. Now, were both of those folks or groups in attendance?
Yes. We had several residents around, that have homes along Volcker Court. Their representatives were there that spoke at the hearing the week prior, as well as TCFC representatives as well.
And part of it has to do with some kind of retention pond. Is that why this is being done?
Well, it's a very complicated issue, unfortunately, we only heard from the appellants a couple of weeks ago. But largely, it goes back to what TCSC got approved throughout the years, whether they were doing the full golf course or this modified hole on hole 11 because of building issues along the way. What was later approved with some requests from the homeowners to relocate a cart path. All of these issues play into what we've ended up with. And at the end of the day, I think what it comes down to is whether we can find a way to navigate to something acceptable to both sides.
So when does the appeal hearing continue?
Right now, it's scheduled for next week. It's really going to depend on whether, there were some grammar requests for some information. The county has provided that. We want to make sure that the council has all the information from both sides in their packets before we finally schedule that hearing. If both sides of this issue can get all that together this week by Thursday close of business, then we'll make sure that it's on the agenda. But I'm really hesitant to finally schedule that on the agenda unless the council sees everything.
All right. And do you expect just one more meeting to wrap it up? Whether it's
we're going to try. I mean, I think this one's going to take a good amount of time. I would expect a good 2, maybe 3 hours on this issue as it progresses. So that of course eats into a lot of our agenda time on a Wednesday. So I don't know if we're going to end up having a special meeting or whether we do this at a regular meeting, but more to come on that.
All right. Tomorrow you give an introduction to the budget for 2017. What's the tentative number here for that?
Well, the budget's a large one that we're projecting this year. First let me start out and give my annual thing that I've been doing for a long time. This is the largest policy statement that the council makes each year. This year we're increasing the budget by about $17 million over the previous year, which brings us into the $70 million range of numbers. And the reason, we're doing a lot of stuff in this budget and projecting a lot of stuff that we haven't had the revenue for in the past. We're planning as if the initiatives for transit and transportation projects pass. If those pass, that of course raises revenue limits, and we'll be doing projects associated with that. The council has given direction to refinance some sales tax bonds. So, of course, we have to pay off the current bond of $7 million plus, and then we're going to be adding financing some more, about $3.5 million worth of projects related to the Camas building and the 3 Mile landfill cell expansion as we do that. So those two things raise the budget quite a bit. But it's all towards things that are in the council's strategic plan. So we're focused on what the council wants to accomplish.
And just to be a little bit more clear, the budget you're recommending is closer to about the $77 million
mark.
Yeah,
it's in the high 70s. That's correct.
29% increase. So again, that just is that is just adding capital projects.
It's adding capital projects mostly. You know, if you look at other things that we're concentrating on, you know, we're going to be concentrating on a little bit more of the economic diversity project or strategic goal around affordable housing. You know, another big one in there is the fairgrounds. You know, I've projected in the budget about a $5 million project related to that. The council last week, when they first heard the master plan, wanted us to at least explore doing the whole project up front. So, you know, that's more to come. If that decision is made through our capital plan and the budget process over the next month, then we'll be looking at that number being a little bit higher. But right now it's projected at $5 million.
Talk to me a little bit about the affordable housing component here. Are you talking about actually putting money in the budget to build?
You know, I don't know if that's in our future at this point. But, you know, things related to the property that we're looking at out at Klein Dolly certainly would have an affordable workforce housing component to it as we're looking at it right now. So if we combine that with a transportation function, perhaps some kind of park and ride facility, you know, with affordable workforce housing, and we're buying down the cost of the land by purchasing that land, then it makes it a viable product for affordable and workforce housing. So I see that as the emphasis there.
All right. Are there any additional employee positions in this budget?
So. It depends on how you look at it, Leslie. So we added two positions in the last month in the sheriff's office related to justice reform, behavioral health type issues. So we are continuing to fund those in the 2017 budget. So most of the 2016 year, we had 300 employees. We just added two, so we're at 302. But again, in the 2017 budget, there's no more above that. So 302 is the number.
All right. So as you mentioned, you are anticipating revenues from the transit sales taxes in here.
That's correct.
But only at $2.1 million. I was thinking that if those were approved, it would raise a lot more than that.
Two issues with that. First of all, just because we institute those, we really won't start to see collections on those till about the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter. Won't really start to receive that until mid-year. So we had to budget conservatively for the first year. 2.1 is in million will be in the general fund, and then there's another 2.1 million that's in the transit district. So that's included in a different part of our budget.
So when I went to look for that number this morning, I couldn't recall it. A little foggy this morning. But anyway, when I went to look for that dollar amount that these two proposals are supposed to raise, I couldn't find it anywhere on any of your public relations materials. So,
well, public relations materials related to the budget or related to
Let's Go Summit.
So we've talked about that as an annual amount as we've gone through the process of looking at the initiatives, and we've projected that at $4.2 million per initiative when it's fully up and running and we're making the full collections on that. Been pretty transparent about that as we've talked about it throughout the way.
Yeah, you have. We certainly say it, but again, when somebody goes to look at that web page, like I did this morning, I couldn't find it anywhere.
I will take a look at that.
Okay. All right. And again, you know, a little blurry-eyed, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see it quickly or easily. Let me see. In your written report, you mentioned that the Budget Committee recommends that the County Council begin to consider increasing base resources such as property tax revenues. Really?
Yeah, as I got the recommendation from the Budget Committee, the Budget Committee had a tough job this year. You know, our base revenues from property tax and from sales tax they don't seem to be keeping pace with things that we need to do. A couple of areas where they they keep pace. It seems well enough, but it doesn't allow us to add a lot of programmatic increases. We know we have to, we're looking at more justice reform, more behavioral health issues that we would like to deal with as a community in the future. We're looking at as we move along and do these transportation projects, there's going to be operational costs to that in the future that we're going to have to increase our road maintenance, our maintenance for our transit system, including with that. One of the great things about our economy here in Summit County is that it's doing very well. Utah is doing very well, but that causes a lot of wage pressure. It causes a lot of benefit pressure and an increase in benefits. And throughout all that, we look at our overall tax burden in the county, and the county is a bargain. Our tax burden on county residents is one of the lowest in the state, So in order to look at stabilizing and increasing some of those services where the community seems to want to, we may need to stabilize that property tax revenue.
So are you proposing that for this upcoming year, or is this just food for thought for future years?
It's food for thought. We're not going to ask the council to go through truth and taxation and for the 2017 budget year, but we want them to think about it moving into the 2018 year. We just didn't feel it was the right time given the sales tax initiatives.
Okay. Let's see. What's the schedule then for budget meetings?
Okay. So budget meetings will start in earnest in November. We'll start meeting twice a week on Mondays and Wednesdays in order to hear from departments, offices, hear about our capital plan. And then the first two Wednesdays in December, we'll have two hearings. We'll have a hearing on the in the Richens Building, so the west side of the county, and a hearing in Colville. And then it will be it's scheduled to be adopted on the 14th of December, I believe.
All right. And also at tomorrow's meeting, you will be taking public input on the proposed transit sales tax.
Absolutely. Yeah. Similar to what we did last week at the Richens Building, between 4:30 and 6, we'll have staff from the city and the county available to the public to ask any kind of questions they have related to the initiatives. We'll have them in a separate conference room, Conference Room 1, which is on the first floor of the courthouse in Colville. And then at 6 o'clock, right after general public comment period, Council Chair will open it up to public comment on the initiatives.
Last week, one citizen concerned about that Klein Dolly parcel. If you do turn it into some kind of transit amenity, will it increase traffic near Jeremy Ranch Elementary?
Well, one of the things that we have to look at in the overall project, because we've got several things going on out there. We're talking about an improvement to the interchange, a big improvement to the interchange. We're talking about improvements to Rasmussen Road. We're talking improvements to Kilby Road in order to handle increased traffic in the future and to facilitate better transit flow. I think within that, we need to really look at the specifics of how the school traffic flows around Jeremy Ranch Elementary, and the school district really wants to work with us on that. We've already been talking kind of at a high level about that. As we get into those projects and into scoping and design specifically around them, we'll be talking with the school districts. We have a lot of options to improve that situation, and we'd like to along the way.
So when will you decide, or when will the council decide if we go ahead and purchase this parcel?
So there mid-January is the deadline. Of course, we're working with some folks at the University of Utah to study this. We had a contingent go up to the northwest of the United States to look at some transit-oriented design projects last week. We expect to have them back in front of council late November, beginning of December. We have to have some conversations with some possible partners within the community as well. So I would expect end of December, beginning of January, we'll be pushing the council to make that decision.
So will we know what we're doing with the property before we decide to buy it?
I think we'll know in concept what we want to do and what might be recommended to relieve traffic congestion, provide affordable workforce housing in different types of scenarios. And so we'll kind of have a range of options in front of us.
Okay. And finally, I just wanted to mention, we heard last night that if you don't screw up in the next couple of weeks, you'll achieve the ranking of Brigadier General. That's a general position? Yeah.
It is a general officer position, and it's a great honor to be chosen by the Adjutant General of Utah and the governor to take on that position. It's called what it's called is the Land Component Commander, and very simply that means that I'll be in charge of the deployable Army forces of the Utah National Guard, and in charge of making sure that they're trained and ready to either support the state in a domestic mission or the federal government in any type of overseas mission that the Army has. So it's nothing I ever expected to get to do, but it's a great honor.
Well, congratulations on that. And I mean, how do you do it all?
How do I do it all? Well, I've been doing it for 26 years. As I've gone through my civilian career and military career, I do about two hours a day on military stuff outside of work. So.
All right. Well, again, congratulations. That's a big honor.
Thank you. And happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks. Tom Fisher, Summit County Manager. 8:34 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, a new series of classes about teen physical and sexual development for girls 9 to 18 and their mothers is starting October 27th. In the studio with details, I have the director of the People's Health Clinic, Beth Armstrong, along with Evelyn Cervantes. She is the program leader for this program called Linking Lives. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the program starts, as I mentioned, Thursday, October 27th. It will run for 3 weeks through November 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Eckery Hill Middle School Library. So I don't know, since you're the program director, Evelyn, maybe you want to tell us what's going to happen. What are the topics for discussion?
Sure. So the teens are going to be talking about sexual and reproductive health, and we're actually going to have teen council members teaching them. So teen council is a different program that's run through Planned Parenthood as well here in Park City. And they're going to be talking about contraception, family planning, the importance of waiting to have sex, and as well as anatomy and physiology. And the parents are actually going to be learning different parenting skills to help open the lines of communication with their teens.
So how does it work? So the girls are in one group, the parents are in another?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the teens are divided into two groups from 9 to 12 and then 13 to 18. And then the 9 to 12-year-olds are taught a slightly different lesson than the 13 to 18-year-olds. And then the parents are divided on the other side.
Do they actually come together, though, so that there's some communication between the two?
Yep, they do come together. It's not the whole purpose of the program, but there will be times where both the teens and the moms come together.
Okay. So I was asking, why are we doing this? I mean, is it just indicative of the lack of sexual education being taught in schools?
Yes.
Beth, yes?
Yeah. Yeah. It's also a little bit cultural. So there's not a lot of discussion that goes on, and we just want to, I think the more they talk about it and the longer that they can keep from engaging in early sexual behavior, the better it is for the teen.
Yeah. And I guess for those parents who may have a difficult time talking about sexual matters with their kids, I mean, rather than keeping their heads in the sands, here you're offering, we'll do it for you and hopefully open up those communication lines, huh?
Absolutely. And it also gives the parents to give time to speak to other parents and see what everyone is going through. So they all get to share their experiences and talk about, you know, what are some of the issues in the community that their teens are going through and how everyone is working through them.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to make it a little more of a enjoyable. So it's 6 to 8, dinners included. And so it's more about it's more of a gathering and a collaboration. You know, it's less of a class and more of just a gathering.
Building community, it sounds
yes,
like.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are there going to be different topics for each of these weeks? Or, I mean, is it kind of planned that way? Or is it just kind of a free-for-all, whatever groups, you know, they have questions about? Or
there's going to be different topics for each week. So the lessons are planned. There's going to be talking to your teen about sexual health for parents, and then as well as a big part of this is linking the participants to resources in the community. So the last class will be talking about what different resources there are in Park City that people can access. And the teens will be learning contraception, they'll be learning family planning, and those are all different classes as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because Planned Parenthood, of course, used to have a clinic in Park City. It was mm-hmm. moved to the Heber Valley. Beth, are you picking that slack up?
No, not at all. So we're one of the community people. I think on the last night of the class, all of the different organizations that are that are in the community that can assist with, you know, like the People's Health Clinic, if they have want to come in and have contraceptive devices and put in, or if they want to get birth control pills or those type of things, we're available for that. And for the whole community, as long as they're uninsured, they can come to us. But so all of the different community partners will be able to go and explain what they can do for these people, for this group.
Yeah. A few years ago, I mean, we had heard about just a real spike in teenage pregnancies. Are we seeing that level off or drop off at all? Do we have any of those numbers like that?
It's leveled off. So the rates haven't increased very much, but the STI rates have increased. And that's because a lot of teens are getting different family planning methods put in or talking about contraception with their parents, but they're not using protection when they have sex. So they think, you know, I can't get pregnant. Now I don't have to use a condom to prevent an STI because they're not really worried about that.
Okay. So again, as you mentioned, it's all free. People just need to register. How?
So they can actually call Rachel Barnett to register at People's Health Clinic, and that's at 435-333-1885. And again, it's Rachel.
Okay. And again, as I mentioned, it's free. You're offering a light dinner for free. Child care will be free. Really, no excuses not to come.
No excuse. Yeah. And it's a great way to open communication. And, you know, it's if you feel like you have some distance between you and your daughter, it's a perfect way to go and build some commonality between you.
And I also want to mention, we'll be doing it both in Spanish and English.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Yes.
So this is for moms and daughters. What plans do we have to do something like this for dads and sons? I mean, this whole groping ordeal on the national forefront seems like a great time to talk about with our sons what is appropriate locker room banter.
So I know that there were fathers and sons that came to the mom and teen classes last year, and they're definitely welcome. But we'll also be rolling out another program called LIFT. And in the LIFT program, it's a one-day, six-hour training. And all parents and their teens are welcome to come. And it's the same concept. We're opening up the lines of communication between teens and their parenting adults. So it doesn't have to be a father. It can be a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a family friend, someone that a teen feels comfortable talking to. So that's another program that's coming up November 19th. And we're having people sign up for that as well.
Okay.
And it's the same thing. It's free. Child care will be provided, and there'll be meals included.
All right. And so November 19th, do we have a place yet?
Yes. So it's going to be at Park City High School. There's a kickoff event for the program. It is a research program, so that people can participate in two ways. They can either be part of the survey-only group, and after a year, they would receive a program similar to LIFT, or they can receive the program and do the surveys as well. So during the kickoff event and the kickoff week, anyone who signs up would be filling out a pre-survey, and then all of the pre-surveys get sent off to a data collection agency who sorts them out and randomly assigns the participants to either the survey-only group or the LIFT group.
Well, the LIFT group has 30?
Both groups, so we are recruiting 30 families, mm-hmm. and they'll be split up into 15 who are survey only and 15 who are the group. All participants are paid to take the surveys.
Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. People can find out more.
Contacting me, Evelyn, at 818-517-7738. And there's flyers, you know, at the library, at Park City Coffee Roasters.
Can we put this on the KPCW website? Thank you.
You bet. Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beth Armstrong and Evelyn Cervantes. In the studio with me now, Inza Riepen, Executive Director of Recycle Utah, with a monthly update. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Well, let's start off first. October 8th, you held your one of the two hazardous household collection days, and you were saying just numbers off the chart?
Numbers off the chart. They continue to be. So we served 446 cars from the amazing amount is like two-thirds are from Park City zip codes. We take zip codes. One-third from the county. We took in an amazing amount of drugs, which, of course, thanks to the sheriff, is being collected by two deputies. So the numbers there were considerably higher than last time around. We took in 25-gallon containers of meds, that's expired pharmaceuticals, and we took in five-gallon containers of sharps. And that is everything, including liquids and the sharps that are not accepted elsewhere. So it's an amazing number, and we want to thank the folks who came out and took the time to go through their medicine cabinets to clean out. Now, our collection events are convenient, but they're also happening every day. You can go to the Park City Police Station, drop off your meds. You can go to the sheriff's office in Camas as well. So don't keep the stuff at home. When it comes to hazardous waste, that is accepted at the Summit County landfill every day except for Sundays. So if you have the stuff, get rid of it as soon as you feel you don't need it anymore.
Okay, what else you got going on?
We also have an Eagle Scout who ran a campaign starting with Got Drugs and then with an informational flyer that you might see at your pharmacy or at your physician's office, giving you the options for proper disposal locations. And all of that has to do with don't dump it, don't flush it, take care of it properly, and save our fish and our kids and everybody in between. So very, very successful campaign for him. What else is new is that we want to enable our citizens to get rid of their yard waste. Don't put it in your can. Don't let it be dumped at the landfill and buried. There is a better way. So at the center last week and again this week, we have a dedicated green waste container that that program runs this coming Saturday from 9 to noon. So if you're cutting your hedges or you have tons of leaves, bring them this Saturday. And then the following Saturday, the last dumpster day of the year, that's on the 28th and the 29th, that's when you can get rid of your garbage and your green waste. That's the last one.
What are you doing with the green waste?
We bring it to, it's a dedicated container that we're watching like little hawks so that no plastic goes in there. We have permission from Tim Loveday, the Summit County landfill supervisor, to drop it at Three Mile Canyon Landfill. It should actually go to Hannaford, but we have permission to do that. And it's kept separately. It's going to be mulched, and it's not going to be buried in the landfill because we need to save our landfill for as long as we can. So those are the last two things of the season. With that comes the end of our summer programming. So if you have wooden pallets, bring them now, after November 1st. That program is shut down. If you have bike tires and inner tubes, bring them now. For residents only, not for commercial entities. Again, after the 1st of November, that program is shut down. And then we have fun events planned for America Recycles Day, which is November the 15th. And we have a green drinks event in the evening where we are going to have Brian McInerney talk about got snow. What can we expect? Do we have any coming? So that is going to be at Aloha Ski and Snowboard Sport right here on Main Street. And we have somebody coming from the city to talk about carbon goals as well. So Green Drinks is an event where you can meet like-minded people, talk about green issues while you're having a good time. But we usually see about 50 people at those events, which is a nice little group to keep it going.
So when is that?
That is America Recycles Day, November the 15th. And we are also going to have a continuation of some kind. We're working on a charm event. And that is since we are the center for the hard-to-recycle materials, as well as all the other stuff that goes curbside, we're going to work on a program where you can drop off other things as well, and we're going to have that more information to come. But we try to encourage everyone to recycle more, to recycle better. we need to keep our landfill going for a little while longer before we can open up a new cell.
Okay. Insa, thank you. See you next month. KPCW News Time now, 8:49. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Park City Board of Adjustments will be reviewing an appeal of staff's approval of the historic district design review for the historic Kimball Garage located at 638 Park Avenue tonight. In the studio with details, Planning Director Bruce Erickson. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
The meeting tonight, 5 o'clock in the City Council chambers. So who's appealing and on what grounds?
All right. So this is kind of a serious bit of business on Kimball Garage. Kimball Garage is one of our designated landmark structures. It's also listed as contributory to our status as the National Historic District. So there's two criteria there. The staff approved a historic district design review for the building, along with our historic preservation consultant and consultation with the State Historic Preservation Office and the Utah Heritage Foundation. The project is being appealed, which is the public's right to do, by the Park City Museum on the basis that one of the two barrel roof forms is a contributory portion of the structure that defines its character. And I need to be a little bit careful with the language because it's a bit fussy, but character-defining features are what the Historic District Design Review is all about. And the museum is suggesting that those two barrel roofs, the round covered portions of the roof, are character-defining for that particular building. Staff did not find that, and that one of them will remain and the other one may be covered by a deck on the new structure. So that's the discussion we're going to have with the Board of Adjustment.
All right. Well, are decks historic?
The deck is part of the new structure, and it would be typical of any of the other additions that we would see onto one of our historic structures.
Mm-hmm. So the concern here is that the removal of that barrel roof could possibly lead to the building losing its landmark designation as well as its listing on the Park City Main Street National Register nomination. So is it worth taking the chance?
I believe our staff is correct in this and that it will not lose its character-defining feature. And the reason for that is that the barrel roof is hidden from the streetscape by the parapet or the portion of the wall that's above the roof. So you can't see that roof unless you're looking down on it from other portions above it in the historic district above Park and Lowell. So from the streetscape, you'll never know. That's not the only issue that's being appealed. The other issue is two sets of windows and doors. In the northwest corner on the Park Avenue side, there are some historic metal windows in the wall. It's our staff's position that those windows are too far deteriorated and need to be replaced. The museum is appealing that decision and want to see the windows replaced in kind. Hmm. And the second one is over by the old coffee shop and the entrance to the Kimball. That area was remodeled back in the 1970s and then remodeled again for the coffee shop. The museum is asking for more historic character on those windows as well.
So when you look at the photos in the packet,
right.
I mean, it doesn't look anything like it used to other than, you know, it sits on the same corner and you know, has windows where, you know, it used to be a garage station where people used to pull through. That's all enclosed now. I mean, it doesn't seem historic at all anyway. So what are we trying to do here?
Well, I think what we're trying to do here is do as much as we can to keep Park City looking like Park City. And one of those things is our historic buildings. And so we work very hard and take very seriously any change to any of our historic buildings. But it is a compromise. And in order to get the building restored and not do crazy architecture next to it, part of the things have to change to the modern world. We can't be stuck in the past.
So what are the compromises here?
The compromise, obviously, is new construction on the Main Street side that will cause the renovation of the building. You'll recall previous proposals had four-story buildings over there and kind of weird architectural contemporary styling. All that's gone away. And the building is 2.5 stories tall. The other changes, obviously, are we're going to be doing historically appearing but new windows in the building. And obviously the biggest one is going to be this proposed deck over the one of the two barrel vaults.
So it's going to be all used for retail or event space, but no residential?
First floor has to be retail. Second floor is special event space. So there is not the basement of the existing Kimball Garage will be used for offices and things like that. Main floor Kimball Garage will be retail. There is no second floor. The only second floor will be in the new building to the east on the Main Street side, and that's special events.
All right, and no condos or anything
no
like that?
No condos, nothing.
Yeah. So if the Board of Adjustment overturns the appeal, then what, the appellant can take it to City Council?
No, this is the final action on this. If the Board of Adjustment overturns the appeal, we'll adjust the Historic District Design Review to include the elements that were overturned, and then the Kimball Garage will pull a building permit and go to construction.
Now, if the Board of Adjustment upholds the appeal, does the applicant have a course of action?
Next course of action is off to the courts.
Okay. Again, that's happening at 5 o'clock
tonight at City Council Chambers.
I didn't realize we gave the Board of Adjustment such authority.
Well, in this particular case, because we have a historic preservation board, they do not have the same sort of regulatory authority as the Planning Commission. So normally a planning director's determination would be appealed to the Planning Commission. In this case, the Historic Preservation is in an advisory role, and the appeal authority is the Board of Adjustment.
Do you expect a decision tonight?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
It's Park City Planning Director Bruce Erickson. You're listening to the Local News Hour.